Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. So, is sugar a friend or foe to you? Listeners, welcome to October 12th in our health article on the war on sugar. Today I have with me for our third day in the studio,
Brian
and Simon.
And I'm Linda. And we're here to discuss again the war on sugar. Is it bad for you or is it not so bad for you? Yesterday we talked about three different topics about sugar. Brian, what's one of the things that stood out to you yesterday?
Well, it stood out to me the part about the people with diabetes and pre-diabetes needing to pay special attention to this because it can hit their system quickly.
How about you, Simon?
That's right. I was interested by the sort of back and forth argument over whether sugar really is this terrible thing or whether it's something that's okay because our grandmothers used it and our great-grandmothers, et cetera, et cetera.
And for me, I think the thing that impressed me and that I want to remind all of our listeners of is that it's the effects of excessive intake of sugary foods and drinks. So it doesn't mean that you should cut everything out of your diet, but just be careful about how much is too much. And that's really what this whole article is about. We tend to go overboard sometimes when we find something good, when we find something that tastes good. You know, sometimes we drink maybe – I have friends who drink two or three Cokes a day. So if we think about how much sugar that has in it, it's way above the threshold that we were talking about yesterday. Well, if you have your magazine with you, turn to page 22, and we will do the reading in the left-hand column. Is sugar to blame for our bulging waistlines?
Is sugar to blame for our bulging waistlines? Overall, calorie intake has gone up since 1970, and about 16% to 17% of people's total daily calories come from added sugars, according to the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Economic Research Service. Sugar is just one reason for obesity, but for many people, it's the big reason, Nestle says. Some overweight kids drink 1,000 to 2,000 calories a day from sodas alone, and sweet desserts are a major source of calories in American diets. The most important health concern about sugar intake is that it adds calories to the diet, agrees Samuel Klein, director of the Center for Human Nutrition at Washington University School of Medicine. The calories we consume in beverages that contain sugar do not make us feel as full as when we eat the same amount of calories in solid food. So consuming large amounts of sugar-sweetened beverages or fruit juices can pack on the pounds. For many people, reducing the consumption of high-sugar beverages is a good first step for maintaining a proper body weight and improving their health, Klein says.
So I love this title here of this section. It's called, Is Sugar to Blame for Our Bulging Waistlines? And bulging just means to curve out. So is your waistline like hanging out or curving out instead of being straight?
That's right. Does it draw attention to itself?
Sugar to blame for our big bellies.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah. I guess it's an interesting question coming out of the first 2 days of this article. You know, we sort of get the impression that sugar itself isn't such a terrible thing. It's the amount of sugar that we're consuming. And then with all of those surprises in the last 2 days, sugar is in all kinds of things you wouldn't think it's in. And it's in those things in huge amounts that you maybe wouldn't have expected. And so I guess having read those last 2 days, today's information isn't that big of a surprise, is it?
No, not at all. And I talked a little bit about this yesterday, the study that said that how much we eat or our calorie intake here, just means taking in, has gone up since 1970. it's kind of amazing that 16 to 17% of people's total daily calories come from added sugars. That's from the department, U.S. Department of Agriculture studies. So that's a high, high percentage of a person's diet.
It is fairly high, although I don't know if it's as high as I thought it would be. So maybe there is something, like you hinted, Linda, in the other calories we're taking in that may not be that great for us either.
Well, I notice that this says from added sugars, okay? It doesn't say from natural sugars that are in the product that you're eating already. So if you're eating some kind of fruit, it's on top of the fruit that would be in that.
If you really think about it, you know, things like starch are pretty close chemically to sugars. And so even eating bread, you're basically eating sugar.
When it breaks down, it often turns into sugar.
Yeah, something like corn, you know, corn on the cob, all of these things we don't think of as being full of sugar actually sort of have the potential for being full of sugar. But again, we're talking about added sugar. So this is the sugar that food processors are adding into our food.
right. Well, notice in the second paragraph it says that sugar is just one reason for obesity, but for many people it's the big reason. And this is kind of surprising, actually, I think, what he's talking about here. What is he talking about for these overweight kids?
He's talking about their drinking habits, that some of the overweight kids are drinking, get this, as much as 1,000 to 2,000 calories a day from sodas alone.
So how many would that be? That's a lot.
What is that, 6 or 8 sodas?
Yeah, seems like it.
Wow.
How are you guys getting that number?
Well, I'm just adding up the calories from a soda.
They said yesterday that 15 calories per teaspoon, right? And they said there were 12 teaspoons in a large soda.
That's 135 calories
We're talking a lot of sodas here.
Wow.
Yeah. I guess that's a couple of 2-liter bottles of soda a day. I think that's probably a pretty extreme case because, you know, they said in the paragraph above 16 to 17% of people's daily calories are coming from this. And so for kids who are getting 1,000 or 2,000 calories from soda a day, it's a lot higher than 16 or 17%.
Well, notice it says some overweight kids.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, some overweight. And then we also have to look at the desserts.
Yeah. So very extreme cases, though, I would say, these kinds of kids.
Well, we also look at they drink that, and sweet desserts are a major source of calories in American diets. Mm-hmm. That is true. I think that in the West, when people are like deciding what they're going to have for dinner, they always factor in a dessert.
That's right.
I mean, I think a lot of people grow up in the West and don't feel like dinner is complete without some kind of dessert. And I don't mean fruit.
You got to have cake or pie.
Yeah, some kind of cookie, cake, pie, something like that.
Pudding.
Pudding, whatever. It's a major – because it's sweet, there's a lot of sugar in these. You know, in most recipes – actually, I bake. So when I'm like making a cake, you can almost cut the amount of sugar in half for what the recipe calls for. It does not change the flavor at all. Hmm. So the recipes actually are quite high in the amount of sugar that they're calling for. But lots of cakes and cookies, you don't need that much sugar at all.
So they still taste great with half the sugar.
They taste better with – no, they taste fine. They taste fine without that much sugar. You can always cut it by a fourth, sometimes by a third or to a half.
Okay. But I guess the idea here is if we're not all drinking 2,000 calories a day worth of soda, it's still a health concern. And they get into that in the next paragraph. It's a health concern because it adds calories to the diet. So in general, we're all eating a lot more than people did decades ago. And a big part of that is that we're eating these hidden sugars that are adding calories to our diet. So we're maybe not eating food that's making us feel full, but we're still getting all of these calories.
That's right, because when you usually – well, this is according to the director of the Center for Human Nutrition at Washington University School of Medicine. So the people that are doing these studies are very concerned about nutrition. They're dietitians. They are nutritionists. They are really looking at the underlying cause of this problem, of the health concerns that people have today. So it's quite interesting, his quote here, that what you just said, Simon, they contain sugar. The beverages contain sugar. They don't make us feel as full as when we eat the same amount of calories in solid food. So it just packs on the pounds, basically.
That's right. And it's what we've talked about over the last couple of days. You don't think of your drink as being the thing
right.
that's sort of adding calories to your diet. And so, you know, if you're eating and you're still thirsty and you're at the fast food place, you go and you get another cup of soda, right? And you drink
that's right.
more of it because that's not, you know, if you're watching your weight, you don't really have to worry. That's how you sort of feel about it. But at the same time, it's adding all of these calories.
Yeah, and actually there's a term called empty calories, and that means there's no nutritional value whatsoever in them. You know, if you're eating like a piece of fruit that has sugar in it is one thing because there is other nutritional value in the piece of fruit. But if you're drinking a sugary beverage, you know, those are just empty calories, period, with nothing
added to
them.
That's true. At least if you're eating an apple or even a mango, as I see the mango over there, at least you're getting some fiber and maybe some vitamins.
That's right. But for many people, reducing the consumption of high sugar beverages is a good first step for maintaining a proper body weight and improving their health. What do you think about this last paragraph here?
Well, as a person who has recently dropped the high sugar beverages and begun drinking from a water bottle all the time.
Do you feel better?
I wouldn't really say so, actually. But the interesting thing about it, obviously, is you don't feel like your diet has really changed.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously you're consuming a lot less calories, right? A lot less sugar. And so you've picked up kind of a health benefit without feeling like you're losing anything. And so I think that our paragraph here is very much right when it says it's a good first step because it's something you can do that isn't really a painful life change, but it maybe makes a big difference in terms of your overall diet.
I think it's something important for families to think about, like when they're serving a beverage, like at lunch or at dinner, you know. In the West, we usually serve milk when our kids are growing up. But like now, my kids don't like water. They want to drink like Coke or they want to drink juice or something like that. Water often is not really an option for them.
Well, it's hard to do. We were talking, I guess, before the program about how when I first came to Taipei, one of the things that surprised me was how much tea was everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so not just people drinking hot tea, but also cold bottles of tea. You know, you can find tea in sort of a 7-Eleven or something in North America, but you can't find anywhere near as much variety or different kinds and different flavors and, you know, different amounts of sugar and stuff. But for people in North America, they don't always have the option of non-water healthy drinks. You know, like it's hard to find 100% juice that doesn't have added sugar. It's hard to find sorts of beverages that aren't really just sugar drinks.
And also, I think some of it in the States also has to do with price because 100% juice is far more expensive than, you know, a fruit drink. And so when you just see the word fruit on it, as we talked about a couple of days ago, we think, oh, okay, it's like a dollar cheaper than this 100% fruit juice, so I'll just opt for the fruit drink, not really thinking about how much sugar is in that one.
And there are all kinds of tricks food companies use. Like you've all seen the fruit drinks that have the little fruit bits in them, right?
Mm.
So it makes you feel like you're drinking the actual fruit stuff, but it's – I don't know if it's fake fruit bits or if it's just, you know, nothing compared to the amount of sugar they've dumped in.
It can be quite funny to read the labels on those and see that it says something like contains 5% real fruit juice
right.
or something.
So I think that's one thing that we want to say again is read your labels. If you're concerned about how much sugar is in products, read your labels. It has to say it on there very, very clearly. Well, let's go to the second column on page 22, not the only problem.
Not the only problem. As for sugar's impact on obesity, Rip says, Americans are eating about 425 calories a day more than they were in 1970, according to the government statistics. But only 9% of those increased calories come from added sugars. Even nutritionists don't want to come down too hard on something so tasty. Consuming some sugar is okay for many people, they say. Even the staunchest anti-sugar advocates say it's a matter of degree, Nestle says. Johnson agrees. Sugar is not the root of all dietary evil. A little bit of sugar adds to the taste of foods. But we've lost sight of moderation because of the gigantic portion sizes. You have to be so vigilant about portion sizes to avoid overconsuming.
Yeah, it's very interesting, this first paragraph here. They say, as for sugar's impact on obesity, Americans are eating about 425 calories a day, more than they were in 1970. That fact really stood out for me, mostly, oddly enough, because my family used to spend the summer at a cottage that didn't have most of the modern appliances. So it had sort of this old-fashioned washing machine, and, you know, there's no dishwasher, there's no microwave. And so I am aware that in the past, doing housework was actually a very physically demanding thing. So even doing normal things in the 1970s would have meant doing a lot more exercise than we're doing today. So I guess that just stood out for me because it shows that this really is a complicated problem. It's not just that sugar is adding calories and that we're eating more calories every day than we were. It's that we're exercising less and doing less physical sort of labor to wear off those calories or burn them off.
Well, especially when you consider it says that Americans are eating about 425 calories a day more. And when you think about if what is the recommended calorie intake for women and men? You know, that's a huge percentage to be increased by. And as you said, like for exercise as well. So we're eating more and we're doing less. But I think the most interesting thing is at the end of this quote, but only 9% of those increased calories come from added sugars.
Well, the interesting bit about that is that they said now 16 to 17% of people's diets comes from sugar. And so what that really means is we've sort of doubled the amount of sugar in our diet since the 1970s.
Where do you think this comes from? I think for a lot of people, both husband and wife are working or parents are working, and so we eat a lot more takeout. We eat a lot more, you know, lunch boxes.
I think even just processed food that, you know, you buy in the freezer and then you heat it up or
right. We don't make so many things like from scratch, as we say, from the very beginning anymore. And really, that's the way you can really control your sugar intake and what you find in your foods.
Especially if you're surfing the internet while you're drinking soda, you're not burning any calories. You're just putting the sugar and the calories right into your body. So maybe it's better, like Simon suggested, to do manual laundry or to do broom sweeping or something around the house to get up and walk around.
Are you coming over to my house to wash all my shirts by hand, Brian? Is that,
sure.
Is that the plan?
Going
to burn off some calories.
And then coming over to mine.
You can do the dishes and the kitchen floor, too, if you want.
I better think about it.
Well, you'll have a very clean house, okay?
I'm hoping so. Yeah, so very interesting. 9% of increased calories come from added sugars. It doesn't seem like that much.
Yeah, it doesn't.
But I guess it really adds up, right?
Well, I think it's also interesting. The second paragraph here says that nutritionists don't want to come down too hard on something so tasty. This is an interesting phrase, to come down too hard. What is that? How do we use that in English? That's a very interesting English phrase.
Well, I guess we use it usually when we're overreacting mm-hmm. to something. So, you know, you can sort of imagine a situation in which a child does something bad.
First thing that came to my mind.
Not too bad, you know. And the parent ends up kind of yelling at the kid and getting them in big trouble. But the sort of punishment is too big for the bad thing the kid did. They've overreacted. And that's the idea here. Come down too hard. When you come down on something, it means you punish it or you try to stop it from happening.
We also say don't be too hard on him, right?
That's
right. Don't be too hard on her. So same thing. Come down too hard on something so tasty. We love
delicious.
Sugar, right?
Yeah.
Most people love sugar.
It's been an important part of my life through the years, sugar has.
Consuming some sugar is okay for many people, they say. And even the staunchest anti-sugar advocates say it's a matter of degree. I think this is pretty interesting. This is by Nestle again. And he's the nutrition professor at New York University. So what do you think about his comment here?
Well, it's interesting that, you know, that term staunchest, it just means like the strongest or the the people who believe the most mm-hmm. in this idea that sugar is bad. So the strongest anti-sugar advocates say it's a matter of degree, which is really what we've been saying all along. It's not that sugar is necessarily so bad. It's not that sugar is making everyone overweight. It's the amount of sugar. And that's what a matter of degree means. It means how much of something you are doing.
Right. And this is from nutritionists. It says that even the nutritionists don't want to be too hard on sugar.
It makes me think of a lot of the diets prescriptions that have been given over the last several decades, because usually those little treats are what have motivated people in the past to stick to their diets. You know, they'll say something like, eat so many servings of vegetables and grains, and then for a treat, you get half of a brownie or you get mm-hmm. one cookie or something like that. So if you take all that sugar, all
half
the treats out of there, who's going to be motivated?
So disappointing. Only half a brownie? I have to eat all these grains and all I get is half a brownie?
Actually, I think that we can trick ourselves in some way. I was reading this article about thin eaters. I thought this was so interesting. A thin eater, I had a neighbor like this. I watched her once. She was eating a cookie. How do you eat a cookie?
Like in one bite.
Okay. How about you, Simon?
Yeah, I kind of, it depends on what the cookie is. I would say probably, though, I'm inclined to, eat the entire cookie or.
Or how about M&Ms? How do you eat M&Ms?
Handful.
Handful.
Yeah, by color.
At one time.
Oh, I do it by color, too.
I do it by
sometimes.
Color.
And pick then I
out.
Eat all the greens at one time. Okay, so a thin eater would never do that. They would eat one M&M at a time. And I watched her once break a cookie up into bits. Not bits, but into small pieces and eat one piece at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a lot of time to eat the sugar.
That's a good strategy.
You're so bored by the time you finish that cookie. You don't have time for another.
That's right. And your break is over, so you don't have time for the 15 cookies after that.
I think there is truth to that, but I think it's also important not to forget that these hidden sugars are a big part of the problem.
That's right.
I really feel like we have been betrayed by the food processors here, where you're just taking a drink, but you're drinking, 2 days worth of sugar. And that seems like that – it shouldn't be like that, I don't think.
Also, I think another one that I find that I feel that there's a lot of hidden sugar in is bread, especially like white bread, white processed bread. We tend to like that. It looks and is so, comforting. But really, you should be eating whole grain bread, the kind that doesn't have so much sugar in it. White bread has tons of sugar in it, and we never think about that.
That's true.
Along with our white bread and our glass of Coke, our sugared beverage. But I think that Johnson says here that sugar is not the root of all dietary evil. I love this phrase.
What does that mean, Linda, the root of all evil?
It's the beginning of all evil, right?
Yeah, it's the thing that causes all the problems, right? And so sugar isn't that.
Well, this comes from a common saying, the love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
so
right.
Here they're just using that phrase to say sugar isn't the root of all dietary evil.
So it's not the thing that's causing all the problems. And he goes on to say a little bit of sugar adds to the taste of foods. And I think we can all agree. I've dabbled in baking myself from time to time. One time in an effort to cut some of the sugar – put in not quite enough sugar in a batch of cinnamon rolls.
Oh, those
rolls? And without enough sugar, cinnamon rolls are just lumps of dough. Terrible.
They are.
Terrible, terrible. So
I made low-fat cinnamon rolls once and I served them to my husband. He ate one and was like – and I was like, do you like them? He's like, you can take them to work with you if you like.
He really loved them.
And he eats anything.
Punish the rest of us.
But it is true. If you make a lot of spaghetti sauce, homemade spaghetti sauce or like homemade chili or something like that, you always put a tablespoon of sugar in or a couple of teaspoons of sugar in because it changes the flavor and makes it not so quite so have that bitter edge to it.
Mm-hmm.
So it is true that we a little bit of sugar adds taste to foods. That's why you put salt in like cookies and cakes and things like that as well.
Yeah.
But we've lost sight of moderation. To me, this is the key. There's no more moderation. We are in excess of everything because of the gigantic portion sizes.
And that's interesting. I was actually just recently back home in Canada. And when I went out for breakfast. And this was kind of interesting to me. I remember living in Canada years ago. And when you ordered a breakfast, it usually was like, two eggs, two pieces of toast, two pieces of bacon. That is not the way it is anymore. You order breakfast now, it's like a platter of it's got pancakes and toast and egg and sausage and bacon and,
really?
Various
wow.
other things. Yeah, people are into big breakfasts. You know, some of these restaurants, I guess they're kind of competing with each other,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
for sort of the best deal. And if you're a restaurant providing some of these foods, it's not really all that expensive to throw potatoes on the plate, right?
Right.
But you can bring in all of these different customers. So people are eating huge amounts of food, even compared to what they were eating, 10 years ago.
So that supports our first paragraph very – but I think that's not only true for breakfast. It's true for every meal that you get. I mean, I found when I go back to the States that they serve far more food than I can ever think of eating.
Oh, yes. I think just the plate size alone is bigger, isn't it?
Right. Well, it says that you have – to be so vigilant about portion sizes to avoid overconsuming. And vigilant is one of our vocabulary focus words. It just means to be very careful to notice it.
Watchful.
Very watchful.
Right.
And that is true for portion sizes, so you don't eat too much. That's the, 3 ounces of meat is what's recommended for most people. And that's the size you can hold in the palm of your hand.
It's less than half of my 7-ounce steak. Yeah.
Well, we thank you for joining us for our discussion on health. And we ask that if you have some views on this, that you write to our Facebook page or write to us at Advanced Studio Classroom. And we'll be happy to post and maybe you can have some discussion among yourselves about what you think about this. So thank you for joining us and join us again for a new topic. Goodbye for now.
Goodbye. Bye.